You made a wise decision to join In the Trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics today, because we catch up with Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. OTAs, organized team activities, they're voluntary right now, but great attendance. And next week, minicamp, mandatory minicamp time. So we thought it was a good time to catch up with Zach Taylor, find out what's going on with the Cincinnati Bengals, what his impressions are of the new draft picks, the free agents they picked up during the offseason. He talks about that and the schedule and oh so much more. You're going to love Zach Taylor. Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And boy, we got one today, a special, special guest, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, none other than Zach Taylor. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Good. Doing great.
Yep.
Well into the offseason. Take me through what you, I know you're very organized. I know that you chart everything out. What are your objectives? What are your goals in the offseason? And there are different phases, you know, in the offseason for the players, phase one, phase two, phase three. But as a coaching staff, what's the biggest thing that you're trying to accomplish, the biggest thing during the offseason?
Well, camaraderie, number one, just the team chemistry that you don't want to take for granted. We always got new faces. We lose some faces. We add some key pieces that are coming in, some new guys. So we want to make sure that we hit the ground running with the camaraderie and the team chemistry. We want to make sure that our new players have a chance to understand the schemes well enough coming out of spring that when they can come in training camp, they can compete, you know, and there's not a relearning process. There's not any of that stuff. We want those guys to understand what we're asking them to do from a scheme and technique standpoint in the spring. So they walk in the door on July 25th and they're ready to compete to help us win a championship. And for our current players that have been here before, it's more just refreshers, you know, getting back on the grass and being able to throw and catch and move around a little bit and just refresh ourselves and add a couple tweaks to the scheme, but nothing significant for those guys. More just getting back on the field for a couple weeks and making sure we got a leg up come training camp.
So when you're in the OTAs, mini camp is coming up, the mandatory mini camp is coming up next week, but you're finishing up the OTAs, the voluntary, great attendance as always. When the guys come in from other organizations or rookies that come in drafted or college free agents or whatever, now the veterans, like you said, they have a pretty good understanding of things, and you don't want to kind of dumb it down. And so it's burden of responsibility falls on the guys that are coming in, the veterans from other organizations and the guys that you draft. They got to get their nose in the playbook and get up to speed with everybody, right?
They do. You know, that's on them. And again, we got meeting time, so we've got, you know, plenty of opportunities for the coaches to install this stuff with them and do it on the field. But at the same time, I see a lot of our rookies, you know, I'll be in there maybe working out late afternoon. I see some of those young rookie receivers and running backs walking through the next day's script, you know, so things like that and making sure they're putting in extra time. So, again, that's part of what you draft. You draft people that you think can handle it and are willing to take the extra time upon themselves to make sure that they're sharp when they show up for work the next day. And they realize that they're not going to survive very long if they don't fit those kind of parameters of the types of players that we like around here.
So guys that you brought in free agency, some of the names, Nick Scott, Cody Ford, Irv Smith Jr., as advertised, no surprises. And then we'll talk about the rookies in a little bit. Are those guys pretty much fitting in to your schematics and your system pretty much the way you were anticipated?
They have, you know, starting with Irv Smith, he's been all in, you know, he understands the big role that he could play. So that's been exciting to see. And then you look at Orlando Brown and Cody Ford, two college teammates at Oklahoma. So they know each other well. So they get a chance to come in here and play on different sides. But, you know, those two guys have been all ears excited to learn our way of doing things. Then defense, like you mentioned, Nick Scott's just been, you know, from the moment we signed him, the Rams, you know, they were all talking about what a great leader we'd gotten. And so I'm excited to see, you know, him in training camp as well. But he's been great so far in the spring. And then you got guys like Terrell Basham and Sidney Jones and some of those players that are free agents as well that have come in here and fit in. So it's an exciting group to be around.
Tell you, watching the offensive line, in the OTAs. Man, I mean, everybody's 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", even Big O is 6'8". You know, I mean,
yeah,
a big group of men over there, man. That is one big, and, you know, 6'5", 330 pounds, 6'6", 328 pounds, whatever, just big, big people.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of big people. You know, we're Orlando is whatever he is, and then, you know, the inside of your line there is, I think, 325. Ted's probably around 315, and Jackson's got good size over there, right tackle, compete right now. So it's a good group. But you're right, the size stands out to you, maybe different than the other 4 years since I've been around here. But it's exciting to see a lot of meat up there in front of Joe.
Let's go through, get your thumbnail sketch on all the draft picks now that it's kind of like Christmas morning. You get the presents and then you open them up and you start to put them together and play with them a little bit. And it's like, hey, this is really pretty cool. So now you're past that Christmas morning after getting these guys in, everybody's under contract and all that. Now you're seeing what they're like. Miles Murphy, what's your impression of Miles Murphy watching him work here?
I mean, just looks the part, number one. You know, that's what it's supposed to look like, getting off the bus, walking on the field. Really impressive, just explosive off the edge. Like, you can see that timed speeds that he had at the combine. That shows up just in the drill work we're doing. He's been real attentive, great kid. Really excited to have him. And so, you know, again, this isn't necessarily an overly competitive time of year for us. You're not competing for jobs necessarily. You're just learning the techniques and understanding the fundamentals we want and the overall schemes. But Miles he's been really good to be around so far.
Man, yeah, his get off, his quickness. I mean, big guy, his size, 270 plus pounds. He can run like he can run. It's like, man, this got some tremendous skills. It's incredible. And that's the thing that jumps out at me when I watch all these guys. You know, you read about what their numbers are, size, speed ratios, and all that, and then you see it on the field, and it's like, whew, team got faster, man. This football team got faster. DJ Turner, another guy, runs sub 4.3. I mean, what's he been like out there to your eye?
Yeah, quick. You know, just real hungry to continue to learn. I think Chuck Burke's done a great job with them. A lot of our veteran corners have done a great job with them. Very eager to learn, thrown into the fire right at the gate, you know, with Cheeto being out. And so it's been really good to see how hungry he is and how willing he is. And I think the quickness is probably the first thing that jumps out at you, is just how good his feet are and how quick he is.
Jordan Battle at the safety position. Watching him, he seems to be a guy that believes in communicating. There's no such thing as over communicating in his eyes. I watch him and it's like, man, this dude looks like a veteran out there already, the way he's, you know, communicating with guys.
I think that's the communication from him. That's no surprise. 4-year starter at Bama, comes from a great high school program. The personality is what jumps out to you. You know, he's not afraid to get into the mix right out the gate. First team meeting, you know, we asked those guys to introduce themselves, and he had about 7 nicknames he reeled off for himself. So that's what's good. You know, guys that are confident in themselves and are able to jump right in, and you see that on the field and walk through settings. The confidence to communicate as a young player is really encouraging and needed at the safety position. And so that's a cool thing to see from Jordan.
Charlie Jones at the wide receiver position, looks like he's a really good route runner. I mean, sinks his hips, getting in and out of cuts, catches the football well. He can run. What, he's a 4.4 guy as well, isn't he, Coach?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's got great time speed, had great return value there at Purdue. And it was just just so successful with all the catches he had and the playmaking abilities that he had. And so, you know, that's going to continue to show up. We just started our 7-on-7 periods, really. So those receivers haven't had a great opportunity yet to showcase what they're about. But, you know, he's one of those guys who's been attentive to the details of what we're asking him to do. And so excited to see him actually get a chance to compete, you know, in some more live drills here in a couple weeks.
Chase Brown out of Illinois, the running back, he looks the part now, man. That kid's put together. He can run too.
Yeah. So far, everything we've heard about him from a character standpoint has checked out. Work ethic. Running backs, I would say, have had the least opportunity to showcase what they're about when you're out there and no helmets for the most part. Helmets as of this week, and there's no contact. There's none of that. None of the stuff that the running backs make their money on hasn't been able to showcase yet. But again, great kid and willing to do whatever it takes.
Andre, I'm going to let you say his last name. I'm still working on that, Coach. But Andre, out of Princeton, obviously a very intelligent guy, probably has football IQ as well. Unbelievable athlete, pentathlete. It's like, whew, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, Andre, you know, just a tremendous athlete, like you mentioned, being a heptathlete there at Princeton, learning more about what that actually means. And so just the endurance factor for him. But what stands out for him is his size and his explosion. You know, you got a big player, you know, similar in size to T is probably the closest comparison you got on this team. And he gets from 0 to 100 real fast. So his burst off the ball, you know, corners in this league, you're going to feel that real fast. And so then it's just, you know, from there, it's the level of competition will be the biggest jump for him, obviously coming from the Ivy League and playing the NFL. But I'm really excited about what he's going to bring to the table.
And Brad Robbins out of Michigan, the punter, obviously he's an outstanding holder too. It looks like he's got great hands, but boy, he seems to hang time and control, you know, put it to, if you're going to right sideline, he's right inside that right sideline. He seems to be very, very outstanding with his placement of the football, it looks like.
Yeah, we're excited about Brad. You know, there's a reason you draft punters because you think they're good players. And so he'll have a chance to compete with Drew Chrisman. And eager to see that all play out. You know, that'll extend through training camp. And so, you know, he's a guy, another guy who seems like a veteran right when he walked in the door. Great personality. Does not lack confidence. You know, just being around older vets and coaches, and that's great to see. And you like being around those types of guys.
DJ Ivy out of Miami, Florida.
Yeah, just great.
Yeah.
Great, great traits across the board. You know, great, great length, great size. You know, so he's going to have an opportunity to come in there and compete at corner and play some special teams roles. And, you know, I've enjoyed being around DJ Ivy so far this spring.
And a college free agent offensive lineman that you signed, Jackson Kirkland, guy we're talking about with the size, 6'7", about 330 pounds. And, I mean, not sloppy. This dude is put together now. He's a specimen. This dude is something else.
He looks the part, you know, and he's done a great job just talking to Frank in the meeting room and, you know, been about what we want to be about up front, you know, and fitting that culture in that O-line room and, you know, played a lot of ball at Washington. And so very fortunate to get him post-draft there as an undrafted free agent.
So when I watched you guys work out during OTAs, it's amazing. You've got it down to a unbelievable science in terms of the execution, the quickness of the execution. Guys, you know, they're going 100%, no hitting, obviously. Taking it right to that point, though, I mean, the speed, the intensity with which you guys practice, it's extremely impressive. It really is.
I think urgency is the word we strive for. And that's, you know, because you can't do a lot of the physical stuff, 11 on 11. But that doesn't mean that you got to slow down and pre-snap work. You know, so the urgency and the communication are two things that this is a great opportunity to hone in on, and just breaking the huddle and attacking the line of scrimmage and letting your presence be known. And at the same time, communicating offensively, we might be shifting and then motioning, and Jermaine and Logan got to be over there and communicating and getting guys lined up. And it's just great work when you don't have the pressure of actually physically executing, and you can start with the mental side of things and start with the alignment and the technique and the communication aspect. I think it's a tremendous way to really, you know, just engross yourself in the playbook and what we're asking our guys to do. And then the physical part will come next. You know, we've started integrating 7-on-7 to do some of the coverages, some of the routes. And then in training camp, we'll be able to do the 11-on-11 full speed. And so I think it's the right way to develop our guys and give them the opportunity to put their best foot forward.
I mean, you are – the players have bought into everything that you're doing, Coach, in terms of, look – when we're out there, we're going to work hard. We're going to get our work done. I'm not going to beat you up for a long period of time. I'm not going to beat you up, period. You know, we're going to work with intelligence, but we're going to work. And, man, I tell you, the guys have really bought in. You got them right there, Coach.
Well, they better. They got it pretty good, you know. And again, there's a reason behind it. We're not just trying to be soft on the players. And,
right.
You know, that's not the reasoning behind this stuff. And if they didn't approach it with the attitude that they've approached it, we would change it, certainly. And but again, we've just – this locker room is about the right stuff. They I think, are appreciative of how we go about things right now. And so they give us everything they got, you know, whether it's on air or pre-snap, whatever it is we ask them to do, We're getting no complaints. We're getting at full speed, and there's not much on our end to complain about as coaching staff right now. We're pretty happy with the attitude these guys have taken on the field.
The New York Jets just made news yesterday by canceling their mandatory, you know, mini camp. Teams have done that. Bengals have done that in the past. What do you think is the biggest thing in that decision-making process? I mean, where are you when you decide, you know what, seen enough, don't need to go through the mandatory mini camp?
Well, a lot of these teams started before we did. You know, we decided to really postpone our offseason program and then even postpone when we're actually on the field doing 11-on-11 for OTAs. So some of those teams are kind of coming to where we're at. They're just on a different timeline of doing it. And so we push things back and have fewer practices on the field. They started earlier, got all their practices on, and then they canceled the back end. So, you know, I think I won't give my thoughts on the overall structure of the offseason program, but I like how we do it. And we do it that way because our guys have played into February and played right up to February. And I think it's important to be able to refresh yourself a little bit mentally and physically before we ask you to come out here and do it. So that's our reasoning behind pushing it back and, you know, getting really six full speed days of work in, three this week and three next week at the mini camp, and then letting them break until training camp.
So the Green Bay Packers come for preseason game number one, and you've already made it known that you're going to have a work day. So the veterans will be getting, the whole team, but the veterans will be getting a good bit of work. Is that the idea? Is that the concept where it's controlled? You're going to get some X number of red zone snaps. You're going to get X number of third down snaps. You really can, because in the course of a preseason game, you may not even have any red zone snaps. You may only get the third down a couple of times. Is that the idea behind it?
Yeah, and not only that, but if your starters only play 15 plays in a game, you know, their chances greatly reduce of getting situational work. So this is good. It's in a controlled environment. You know, the people you don't want to get hit aren't going to get hit. And you get an opportunity to manufacture a lot of situations against another team. We'll practice against ourselves for 10 days, and, you know, guys will be ready for something different, and Green Bay will come to town, and they'll get an opportunity to do that, and we'll get one great day's of work in. And you know, the decisions we'll have to make are, does that take the place of our starters maybe playing in that first preseason game? And then do we give them work in the second preseason game instead? You know, so those are things that we haven't ironed out yet, but we'll continue to think through here as the summer progresses.
What about the schedule now that you've had a good bit of time to digest it? What are the things that jump out at you about the schedule?
Well, we get a lot of time in prime time, and I think our guys appreciate that. That's something, you know, you take great pride in, being a team that people want to see. And obviously we have to live up to that billing with the games you got before that. But that's something that you always notice is when they're going to put you in the spotlight and you guys get a chance to sign. But the first thing we always look at is the first game of the season and just start it fast. And for us, it's a road game against the Cleveland Browns, so it's a significant game right out the gate. You got a chance to be 1-0 overall, be 1-0 in the division, be 1-0 against Cleveland. And so those are things certainly we would love to have. And there's going to be a lot of work that goes into playing against a really, really good team with some unknowns. They got a new defensive coordinator, so the scheme's going to change. You know, Deshaun Watson's back. He's had his first real full offseason where he knows he's going to come in and start the first game of the season. And so there's a lot of things there that they've done differently to the roster and to the coaching staff that that we have to be ready for in week one.
You've got two division games to start the season, Cleveland and Baltimore, and then two of the last three games in the season at Pittsburgh and finished with Cleveland at home, sandwiched around the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. So you start with two division games, two out of the last three are division games, then kind of in the middle, back-to-back division games as well, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. It's kind of crazy how they've paired those things up, those division games, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you always anticipate the season ending with two of your three being divisional games, especially that week 18 game. So that's no surprise. You just never know how your season's going to start or what's going to be in the middle of it. So we'll just take it as it comes to us. We knew which teams we were playing. We knew where we were playing them. So there's no surprises there. And, again, you just got to focus on each week at a time and not get bogged down by maybe what's down the road. Because a lot of people talked about how difficult our schedule is going to be at the end of the road last year. And at the end of the day, we just focused on one game at a time and it all took care of itself. And we'll have the same approach this year.
Right. The bye is fairly early, October 22nd, but then you have the Thursday night game about a month later, November 16th. It's almost like another mini bye after that early bye. So that kind of washes itself out a little bit.
Yeah, and then you got the Monday night game in December, you know, and so that that kind of gives you another day in there leading up to that game to catch your breath a little bit. So I think it's spaced out. You know, it's you don't get to choose when your bye week is. And so it's going to be a little earlier this year, but you do get that Thursday night game, like you said. Did you say it was in November? Is that when it was?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good for us, and you know, we'll just be ready to grind through it after that.
So let's talk about what your team is doing with respect to making a big impact in the community. You know, not just in the locker room on the football field, but in the city, the tri-state area, the whole nine yards. And number nine, Joe Burrow just had his big fundraiser, his golf tournament for his foundation. And you know, his whole mindset is the golden rule plus. You know, everybody should feel like they should do something for people, for others, you know. And that's what he and his foundation, his mom and dad put a heck of a lot of work into that golf tournament. It was something else now. Boy, they raised good money to help a lot of people. It was pretty impressive. Joe Burrow, he's Midas, man. Whatever he touches, it turns to gold, Coach.
Yeah, you know, I think he understands the responsibility that comes with all that. He's done a great job utilizing the star power that he has for the benefit and the greater good of this community, this region, and on a national scale. And so that's tremendous credit to him for utilizing all that the right way and being a role model, you know, for every kid. I speak locally here in the community because I see it firsthand with my kids and their friends, and it's really cool to see. And, you know, last night we took Eric Ball and myself took all the rookies over to the Friars Club over there by Roger Bacon High School. Sure. And interacted with their summer league teams, you know, a bunch of 8 to 12 year old kids who come from all walks of life and do their summer league. And so we brought the rookies over there and mixed it up with those guys. And, you know, I've just got so much respect for Coach Annie Timmons that runs the Friar Club over there in Parrish. And so, we just wanted those guys to kind of be impactful over in that community as well. So there's so many great things. We could go on and on about all the good things that our players do and coaches do. And but mostly just proud to represent this community and try to give back as much as we can.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's incredible. I mean, Sam Hubbard's got a football camp coming up at Moeller. Both my grandsons are going to be going to that. Yes. Sam's got his foundation. Ted Karras. The list goes on and on. I mean, guys are using the NFL platform in a very, very positive way, and you can't say anything but salute on that one for sure. No question.
Yep.
Coach, appreciate you carving time, visiting with us. These camps, these OTAs, the voluntary OTAs, and then the mini camps are all extremely important. And like you said, the biggest thing is bonding, you know, not just on the football field, but guys going to dinner together, guys spending time together, just feeling good about each other. I mean, that stuff, people think, man, that's overrated. That they poo-poo that stuff. That stuff's big. There's no question it's big.
Yeah, you have to spend time on it. You know, it doesn't just happen without putting a lot of time and effort into it. It's got to be genuine, and I feel like it is on behalf of our players.
No doubt. Done a heck of a job, doing a heck of a job. Looking forward to this season already. But first, mini camp next week. We'll see you there, Coach.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.